Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to help you better understand the Bible. We also have a TV program that airs at 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. on public access station number 6 on your TV entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give a look. We hope you'll become a regular viewer. We also ask you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We encourage you to come and worship and study God's Word with us. You will always be warmly received. The past few months, we have been examining an overview of the Bible. We've been looking at the books of the Bible and giving you a better understanding of how the Bible is put together. We're in the New Testament now, and we're looking at the second part of the book of Galatians. Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul to the churches of Galatia. We finished up looking at chapter 3 last week, and we'll pick it up there looking at chapter number 4. In chapter number 4, again, he's dealing with the Judaizing teachers concerning the place of the law of Moses as it had been taken out of the way by the law of Christ. It says in verse number 4 of chapter 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." We see in this passage that God, in his infinite wisdom and in his eternal plan, brought his Son forth when it was right according to his eternal plan, and he brought him, he was born of a woman, that is Mary, of course, and born under the law of Moses. The law of Moses was in fact when Jesus was upon the earth. Why? To redeem, to buy us back from sin, according to verse 5, that we might receive the doctrines of sons, that we might be able to enter the family of God. And we see that Paul warns them in verses 9 through 11 that they are slipping away of their advantage in Christ by trying to go back to the old law. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid of you, lest you have labored in vain. They were going back to the old law. They were going back to that letter of the physical law when they had been redeemed and been bought out of that by the blood of Christ and by the law of Christ. And now they're trying to return to it, therefore giving up the advantage that they have in Christ. And he tells them in verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" He's telling them the truth. The law of Moses has been abrogated, has been set aside by the blood of Christ upon the cross. And now they're under the law of Christ, not under the law of Moses. And they need not to try to bring in any of the requirements or of the law of Moses and try to bind them on those who have submitted in obedience to Christ. Now, how is he going to drive that point home? Well, in chapter number 4, he's going to use an allegory between Abraham and Sarah, and between Ishmael and Isaac. It begins in verse 22. "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and of the free woman through the promise." Now again, the bondwoman is Hagar, and the free woman is Sarah. And the son born according to the flesh is Ishmael, and the free one, the one through promise, is Isaac. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, the old law, and gives birth to bondage, that is Hagar. Hagar is representative of that old covenant on Mount Sinai. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, that corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and which is the mother of us all. But now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. See, he's making an allegory. The bondwoman was Hagar, and the son born of the flesh was Ishmael. But he was not the child of promise. The child of promise was born by Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, verse 30, he says, "Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, Hagar and Ishmael. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman, Sarah and Isaac. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. You see the point? We're not child of the Old Testament. We are of the New Testament. We're of the free woman, the promise made in Isaac, that all the nation of the earth would be blessed. And then, in verse 5, he continues his thought. Says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and don't become entangled again in the bondage, in the yoke of bondage, again referring to the law of Moses. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Why? Because circumcision is not meaningful under the law of Christ. I testify to every one of you who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You just can't keep part of it. If you want to take part of it, then you're responsible to do it all. And so again, they should leave the old law alone. It has been set aside. You have become estranged from Christ, who attempt to be justified by the law, and that means by the law of Moses, you have fallen from grace. You've given up your advantage. You went back to the law, which could not redeem you from sin, did not have the provisions that are in Christ, and therefore you've fallen from grace. Again, that's an important verse for people who believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. And then he asked, you ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? They started out well, but now they're slipping back. Who caused them to slip back? Who had troubled them? And then he reminds them in verse 9 that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Same argument that he made to the Corinthians back in 1 Corinthians 5. And then in verse 14 he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you consume one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Again, not under law, just any law, you're not under the law of Moses. Being led by the Spirit, you're in the law of Christ. And then he gives some examples of the law of the flesh, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I told you in times past, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't do the works of the flesh. You can't have that spiritual, that fleshly mentality and follow these works of the flesh and ever hope to gain heaven. You will not be accepted. These are contrary to God's will, and those who practice and conduct themselves in such things and do not repent, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what Paul said by the inspiration of the Spirit. These are works of the flesh, and they are to be discarded, and they are not to be followed. But what do we replace them with? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, we're to walk after the fruits of the Spirit. We're to take these characteristics, and we are to adopt them, and we are to put them in practice in our lives to make us followers of Christ, under the law of Christ, because that's what we are in when we follow Christ. We are his children, and we have to have this character in our lives in order to be pleasing to God. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, if we have left the law of the flesh that was in the law of Moses by those fleshly ordinances, then we would put that to death, and we would put these works of the flesh to death, and we would walk in the character of the fruit of the Spirit. This is a change that must take place and must be continuing being worked on by the Christian in order for his life to be in accordance with the will of Christ. And then in chapter number 6, he begins by telling them that if a man is overtaken in a fault, those which are spiritual are to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And then verse 5 says, for let each one bear his own load. These verses are important because it shows that man can be overtaken. He can go back into sin. And when he does, somebody needs to guide him back to the truth. Who does that? The spiritual-minded person. spiritual-minded person who's striving to follow God can help the wayward Christian who's wandered back into sin, and to bring him back and allow him to correct his life, and to do that, to bear one another's burdens. And we need to be careful not to be haughty, as verse 3 warns. And then, in verse 7 and 8, there are principles that have been true all through time. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man soweth, that will he also reap. For if he sows to the flesh, will of the flesh he reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We're going to reap what we sow. If we sow fleshly things, the works of the flesh, and the carnal attitudes and the carnal mindedness of the flesh, and we serve that and we do that in our lives, we're going to reap destruction. We're not going to reap everlasting life. To reap everlasting life, you have to do the fruits of the Spirit. You have to adapt those characteristics into your life, and therefore you can reap the benefit. You're going to reap whatever you sow. Whatever it is that you sow, that will you reap. That's a divine principle that cannot be changed. And in verse 9, he encourages them not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season they will reap if they faint not. And so again, he's trying to show them that they need to be faithful, they need to follow Christ, and they need to keep following Christ, and they need to be faithful in all of their actions. And if they don't lose heart, and if they stay the course, then they will receive everlasting life. We also see here in verse number 14, but God forbid that I should boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Notice, the old law and its ordinances profit nothing. The Judaizing teachers kept trying to bind these old fleshly requirements of the old law upon the Gentile converts as being necessary for salvation in Christ. Paul is reiterating throughout this whole book that those laws and those requirements have been nailed to the cross. They have been abrogated. They have been taken aside. And they are no longer profitable. Why? Because they're not necessary. Now we are to follow the teaching and the principles and the instructions of Christ in the law of faith, walking according to the Spirit, to what the Spirit reveals. And when we walk in the Spirit and we take on the characteristics of the fruits of the Spirit, then we are walking in Christ, and that's how we gain an advantage over sin, and we leave the law of Moses alone. It led us to Christ, as we studied earlier in Galatians chapter 3. And as many as walk accordingly to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Again, he's talking about spiritual Israel, not the national Israel. He's talking about spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel, those who are following Christ. Remember the promise to Abraham. Through thy seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That seed was Christ, Galatians 3:16. And all those belong to Christ also belong to the spiritual descendancy of Abraham. So the book of Galatians is trying to show them the place of the law of Moses. It had a purpose. It was temporary. It was never to be eternal, and it led them to Christ. And once they had got to Christ, then the law had done what it was designed to do, and now they're under the law of Christ, as we are, and we should follow Christ and follow his teaching and characteristics that we read in the fruits of the Spirit. And when we walk in that way, we will be pleasing to God. Thank you for listening this morning. Tune in again next week as we continue our study of overviewing the New Testament. Have a blessed day. Come and worship God with us.